the title is The Answer is at the Door. And so Acts 12, we're going to read in verse 1. And it is, says, it was about that time that King Herod arrested some who belonged to the church, intending to persecute them. He had James, the brother of John, put to death with the sword. And when he saw that this met with approval among the Jews, he proceeded to seize Peter also. And this happened during the festival of unleavened bread. And I was telling everybody, this was about 12 years after the crucifixion and the resurrection of Jesus. The church had been growing. It had been expanding throughout the region, Samaria and Judea, and it was reaching the Gentiles. They were becoming to learn about Jesus and who he was. And we know that the enemy likes to come in. And of course, he came in and told Herod, you know, he wanted him to kill those disciples. He wanted to kill those people that were preaching and teaching the news of Jesus. And so King Herod killed James, the brother of John. And so we know he was one of the sons of thunder. The church was stunned by the beheading of James. And so when Peter was arrested, they were earnestly praying and seeking for his release. So verse 4, it goes on to say, after arresting him, he put him in prison, handing him over to be guarded by four squads of soldiers. And we know that that was a total of 16 soldiers. And so Herod intended to bring him out for public trial after the Passover. And verse 5, it says, so Peter was kept in prison, but the church was earnestly praying to God for him. And so I started talking about how it seems like so many times we look and we feel like the evil is prevailing. It's winning because lies are being magnified and the truth is being hidden today. And so how many times have we asked the question, God, where are you in all this? How come we don't see you moving? How come we don't see things changing? And so things haven't changed too much in the aspect of the church is still being persecuted. We aren't being arrested. We aren't hiding underground, but we are losing our freedoms when it comes to the school systems. And I shared a little bit about how back in the days, in the 50s, I believe you could bring your Bibles to school. You could pray. You could do the Pledge of Allegiance. And slowly, those things are taken away. They, you know, they're telling kids they can't do that kind of stuff. You know, we want to separate church from the state. And, you know, and that is not at all what it intended. Once again, they're misreading and misconstruing what that whole constitutional thing was. It was to keep the church, or to keep the schools out of the church. And so I believe it was so there wouldn't be one church that was involved, like the Catholics and things like that. So it was not intended that way. And so there's that twist on that. So they're trying to silence us. And I started talking about how I looked back to see about the movies and stuff, how in the past there was always an influence on the television through the media, and it was Touched by an Angel, it was Highway to Heaven, it was Little House on the Prairie, you know. And so I began to really search and say, okay, what Christian programs are on TV right now? I couldn't find one, not in the major networks. Mm-hmm. There is not one TV program. And slowly every program that's on, they're introducing a little bit of this, a little bit of that. You know, you got to have this kind of a person. You have to have this color of a person. So everything they're trying to make, you know, and it's like, no, it's, you know, it's just, exactly. It's sad. It has gotten into Hallmark, and I'm angry about that. I know there is one show, it's called The Chosen. I don't know if many of you have seen that. So you can get that on Peacock TV. But it is sad that you know, we don't have more Christian directors like Michael Landon. You know, he was such a influential person, you know, in Hollywood, and he was respected. And unfortunately, we don't have any producers that are like that right now. I know Tyler Perry's trying, but I haven't really seen anything, you know, from him that really is God. It's kind of hidden. It's subtle, you know. And again, why is that? Is he afraid? You know, people are going to start rejecting him. You know, we have to take a strong stand in our faith, and people just aren't willing to do that. So we need to pray for Christian directors and producers to come forth and to have favor and influence in our media. Yeah, hallelujah.
Those are the seven mountains, you know.
Hmm.
church is supposed yes. to be in charge of. So
yeah.
Those in Hollywood, though, that do stand up mm-hmm. and are not
they
ashamed,
get ridiculed. Where'd my drink go?
They are
my drink. Where'd I go?
Their careers are
oh, there it is.
Over,
it's black.
No
couldn't
matter
see
what
it.
They do.
Right.
And it's like I've heard several prophets that said Hollywood belongs to God.
It absolutely does.
Change.
Yes.
And it's coming.
And that's time for the church to really pray into that.
Yes.
And that's something that we really need to be fervent about.
See, the other day I read the other day that Ice-T, I don't know, I don't watch that much. He, you know, but that he turned down an offer for $9 million because they wanted to do some things and stuff, and he wouldn't do it. And that's what really needs to be done.
Yeah, absolutely.
Just like the church, they need to start, well, like I said last night even, they need to stand their ground.
Absolutely.
Even Disney has let the people down.
Yes, it's awful. I know, yep.
Not like it used to be.
No. Well, verse 5 says the church was fervently praying. And so fervent in the Greek means is ektenos, which means fully stretched. And so prayer was being stretched out. It was intercession. It was praying that they had to persevere. It was persevering in prayer during that time. And it involved so many hours, and it was well into the night that this church was praying for the release of Peter. And so they were determined that they had no other hope. I mean, it was the night before his execution. All they knew how to do was to pray, because God was the only one that was going to release Peter from prison. James 5:16 says, and this is from the Amplified, it says, pray one for another that you may be healed and you may be restored. The earnest, heartfelt, continued prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available. It's dynamic and it's working. Continuing on verse 6 on Acts chapter 12, it says, the night before Herod was to bring him to trial, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers bound with two chains, and the sentry stood guard at the entrance. I don't know about you, but the night before my execution, and I'm chained between two soldiers, I don't know that I would be sleeping unless I had a sleeping pill or something, you know, because I would be like, oh God, I can't, you know, just what I'm going to be facing. And so me personally, I don't know that I would have had that peace. But yet Peter was in complete peace. And I remember also a story when Jesus saw Peter. I think it was one of the first times that he called him, and he was out on the boat. And the verse, it says, let's see if I can find it here. He said, and I guess I didn't write down the scripture, but, oh, yes, I did. It was John 21:18. Jesus spoke to Peter and he said, when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go. So I'm sitting here going, I wonder if Peter remembered that. He's thinking, well, Jesus told me I'm going to be old. He's about 40 now. That's not old. 40's not old. 60's not old. Amen. You know? So I'm sitting here thinking, maybe he's remembering that. Or again, with Paul being in prison, they said, you know what? You know, whether I wake up or whether I'm martyred for Jesus, it's a good thing, you know? And so he had a different perspective. We don't know what totally that was, but I want to believe that he remembered that. You know what? This isn't the ending. This darkness that I'm in, it's not going to end me, because Jesus said, I'm going to live to be an old man. That's the promise. So that's Janice's interpretation. So verse 7 says, suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared and a light shone in the cell. He struck Peter on the side and woke him up. Quick, get up, he said, and the chains fell off Peter's wrists. Then the angel said to him, put on your clothes and your sandals. And Peter did so. Wrap your cloak around you and follow me, the angel told him. So Peter went to sleep in darkness, and he woke up to an angel and light that shined in the midst of his darkness. And so the the command that the angel said to him was, quick, get up. So when he stood up, the chains fell off. The chains didn't fall off, and then he stood up. So when I read that, he said, he told him, stand up. And when he did that in obedience, that's when the chains fell off. So my first point that I got out of this was, number one, obedience will lead to your freedom. And number two, we're going to just throw number two in here because I'm getting ready to say it. You have a part to play in your freedom. Again, he said to get up. Had Peter not gotten up, what would have happened? I mean, the angel could have done anything. He could have just had him clothed. He could have just went through the walls. They could have done anything. But yet, he told Peter, get up, put on your shoes, put on your cloak. So there are so many hurting people that are devastated by what's been going on the last 3 years. And, you know, we keep, again, trying to say, okay, God, where are you in this? What is going on? What does next year hold? Is this finally going to be over? You know, so many questions and everything that's in our minds. And so there's people that have had chains that have held them captive. All the feelings and emotional. I know Sharon's preached on this, where the enemy wants to get us is in our mind. He wants to fill our minds with lies, saying how worthless we are, how undeserving and stuff that we are. And so I brought a visual for you guys. And I got this off our dumpster. And, oops, I forgot this one. And in this, I want you to see, because so many times when we are being totally wrapped around, we've got things that's coming on. Our hands are being wrapped. We're in chains. And we're sitting here wondering, okay, God, what has happened? Why do I have these chains on me? And I'm just going to read some of these because it looks like hopeless fell off. But hopeless is real. That is a feeling that we so many times feel like even now people are hopeless. This situation and everything that's going on in the world, they are hopeless. They do not have any hope that it's going to get any better. They think that it's getting worse. The news media is telling you it's going to get worse. Guess what? Your turkey dinner is going to cost twice as much. The gasoline prices, you're filling $40 in your car? No, it's going to cost you $80 to $100 now. There's so much going on in our world. And so we are constantly being bombarded and we're being chained by things. And some of the chains that I wrote down here was unworthy. You feel like you're unworthy. There's shame in your past that has held you bound, that's held you captive. There's fear. Maybe you've been abused. There's affliction. Maybe you're in a situation where the doctors have given you no hope. They've given you a diagnosis, but Jesus wants to give you a miracle. Maybe you think that everything is impossible. I've been praying for this for so many years and it still hasn't happened. Guess what? God is the God of impossibilities. Unbelief. That's the biggest thing. The enemy wants us so held captive so that we don't believe that, you know what? That Jesus died on the cross. He did it all for us. We have to believe and know that we have been set free from those things. On this hand, I'm sitting here and I'm looking at, let's see, let's start with this one. Start from the bottom. I'm hurt. I've been hurt. I've been hurt by the church. I've been hurt physically. I'm alone. Nobody likes me. Everybody hates me. You know, kind of the song. I feel like I don't have any friends. No one wants to be around me. I'm worthless because that's what I've been told my entire life. I feel abandoned. My mother didn't want me. My father didn't want me. My siblings didn't want me. I felt abandoned throughout my life. I had rejection. I was rejected by so many people. I was rejected by the church. Anger. You're angry that maybe it was your lifestyle. Maybe it was something that you even had no control over, but you've got yourself in a situation that you're just angry all the time. You hate being there. You don't want to be in that situation anymore, but you're just angry about it because you don't know what to do about it. Depression. A lot of people, and I'll talk a little bit more about depression and what I went through. And of course, disappointments. That's kind of the biggest thing. I think even now, you know, so many times we feel like God was going to do this in my life or he was going to move this way in my life. And we're just disappointed because it didn't happen. Not the way we wanted it to anyway. And so I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, when those chains was on Peter, the moment that he said, stand up, get up, we know it was easy. They fell off and he was able to walk in the freedom, but he had to get up first, because so many times we want to sit in our misery. We want to sit and wallow in our self-pity. And again, and I'm not trying to say this in such a negative way, because your emotions are real. What you're feeling at that time is real. It hurts. But God doesn't want us to stay there. So that's where, what I'm talking about. He does not want the enemy, because the enemy wants to keep you there. Look how long that list is. I didn't even name half of the stuff. And so I know some of you got a piece of paper, and later on, I want you to write down what you think, what the enemy is bombarding you, what you, that is chained to you. You are chained to that thing, and you want to give it to God. So be thinking about what that is for you. I named a few, and maybe it's going to be some of the same ones, but just be mindful. Be thinking of what you want God to set you free from. So many times too, when the chains is there and Jesus is standing in front of you and you know who is going to release you from those bonds, some people make excuses. So if I'm bound by this, and Jesus, I know Jesus is before me, but yet I'm so distracted, I guess the word, or so focused on everything that's in my chain that's holding me. It's like I'm not looking up to see who my deliverer is, because I'm saying, but I'm bound. But I'm bound. I'm bound by this thing, and we keep our focus on this and not on Him, so He can release those things. So they want to put a condition on God. They want to say, well, why don't you remove the shackles first, God, and then I'll do this for you. Anything that's holding us is powerless to the name of Jesus. I know Barry spoke on last week, and I was downstairs, so I didn't get to hear it. But I believe I asked him, I said, what'd you preach on? I said, I'll listen to it later when I get a chance. I'm working on my lesson now, but I said, what did you preach on? And he said, he talked about the power of Jesus, the name of Jesus. And so Jesus, his name is power. And I know we're singing this new song. I love the new song, Speak Jesus. I'll tell you what, whatever situation you are going, find that on the internet, Speak Jesus. I tell you what, you have to. I mean, we are in a time today, how much fully we have to rely on the name of Jesus for everything that we're going through. Because we're getting at the place now where, you know, doctors and nurses aren't taking the vaccine. And so guess what? There's a shortage. The hospitals. Okay. So if the pandemic heightens in any way, they're lacking the nursing and the doctors to even take care of people. And if you don't have the vaccine, will you even be treated? They may say, sorry, you can't come in unless you get the vaccine first. So there is so much going on in our world. And so we have to totally rely on Jesus. And I believe that's what he's taken us to this place for this day and this hour, is to fully and completely rely on him during these last days, because he is our hope. He's the answer to everything. Jeremiah 32:27 says, behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is anything too hard for me? I love that scripture. Man, if you're going through something, put that on your mirror, put it on your refrigerator, and read that. Say, is anything too hard for God? Nothing is too hard for God. Huh? It's Jeremiah 32:27. And John 8:31-32. This one says, if you continue in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So God's word is truth. It's power. His word has power. I know, and that person might be here, but I know someone had someone came up to them and said, "Hey, I want you to pray to so that I can get my kids back." And the person that was going to pray said, "Are you willing to give up your drugs?" Person couldn't answer. So many times someone comes up and says, "You know what? I want you to pray for my marriage. I want my marriage restored. Are you willing to go get counseling? You know, I need to be able to provide for my family. I need to be able to do this. Are you willing to go out and get a job?" So many things that we expect Jesus and God to just magically do for us when he's saying, "You know what? This is a choice. I have a plan. I have a purpose. I have a direction for you, but you have to do something. You have to do something. I'm not going to just magically, you know, because he wants us to get to a place where he's not going to go against our will, but he also wants to know how much we desire to obey and to have that obedience. And that was the obedience leads to freedom. So if you want to walk in the freedom and the purpose of God, then you have to walk in the obedience to what he is calling us to do. So the angel was giving him instruction, put on your clothes, put on your sandals, wrap your cloak around you. So only the power of God can release us from prison. But if you'll notice here with the angel, he was letting him know that while he was taking him out, he was preparing him for where he was going. He needed those things for where he was going to go and what he was going to be doing next. So God will clothe us. He will clothe us with the things that we need in ministry and the places that we're willing, where he's wanting us to go. So if we want to walk in freedom, we have to walk toward God. We have to walk toward his purpose and doing what he is telling us to do. So many of you have a piece of paper. I think I addressed that. If you didn't, I can get you a piece of paper, but I want you to be thinking about what's holding you captive, what's keeping you from getting up, what's keeping you from moving forward. I'm going to share a story. I know many of you probably have heard this before, but I'm going to share it again. But in 2015, when we moved to Florida, we knew that God was leading us. He was guiding us. We knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that we were supposed to go. And in a way, it was easy to go, but in a way, it was also hard for us to go because we were leaving so much behind, and our family, our children, and we were going into a place where we knew no one. And so the unknown is very difficult to move into. We always want to know, "Well, God, tell me what's ahead of me. Tell me what you're going to do." He just says, "Go." And we go, "Okay, I'll go. I don't know what's ahead of me, but I'm going to go. I'm going to do what you've called us to do." So we went. And I remember just being alone, feeling depressed, feeling down, missing my kids. And I had never experienced or known what depression was like until that happened to me. And there was many days I did not want to get out of bed. Barry would come home from work. I would still be in my big pajamas. I would still be in bed. I would just kind of tell him, "Oh, I'm just watching TV." But I was depressed. And so a couple times when we came back here, I remember coming to service. And, you know, Pastor Jim, the man of God, he, you know, just the prophecy and stuff that was coming out of him. I remember sitting over here in the service. And, of course, during that time, Jim always, he was just crying. He was weeping. And he said, "Jan, let me see if I can, because I wrote this down, so I don't want to miss anything." He said, the word he gave me was, "I see you standing before a wall. And it's insulated." He said that I could see people through this insulation, but I couldn't talk to them. And he said, "God, who built this wall around Janice?" And God said, "She did." And God said that he wanted to propel me into the new journey that he had taken us to. But the wall that I put up, it had to come down in order for me to minister to people and to bring back the joy that God wanted in my life. And so it was so refreshing at that time, because when Jim spoke those words over me, I mean, it was a heart. It was like, that's exactly how I feel. And I knew that I was the one that put those walls up. It wasn't the enemy. I knew who I was in Christ. I knew all this. I've grown up in the church. But Janice, in her self-pity, in her loneliness, why did you send me here? And I miss my children. I miss my kids. I started focusing on everything that I was missing. And I wasn't focused on where God was taking me and what he wanted for our lives and how he was going to use us. And so that was the turning point for me. When I went home, I just said, God, I'm sorry. Forgive me. And you know what? I had to break down those walls. God could have easily done it, but he says, Janice, how bad do you want to get out of this captivity? How badly do you want these walls tore down in your life? And I said, I want them gone. And he said, okay. And so I had to purpose in my heart, I am going to get up every morning. I am going to take a shower. I am not going to lay in bed past 8 o'clock in the morning. And I'm going to open the Word of God and I'm going to read. I'm going to turn on praise and worship music. And this is what I did, because I knew I had to renew my mind. I had to get myself out of the captives and the chains that was holding me in that depressive state, because that wasn't what God wanted. It wasn't that God put that on me or the enemy put it on me. I really put it on myself. Let's just say it. I think the enemy gets bombarded and blamed for a lot of things, but he does want to keep going into your mind thinking that you're unworthy. But we can't believe those things. We can't believe the lies, and we know that they're lies, but yet we still believe them. Why? Why do we do that? You know? But we do. So we're not perfect. God's still working on us. So I made a decision, and with that decision, I knew to seek God, and he was the one that kept me out of that place, because renewing my mind with the Word of God kept me from going back to that place of being bound and being in that depressive state. Let's read up verse 9. It says, Peter followed him out of prison, but he had no idea what the angel was doing and what was really happening. He thought he was seeing a vision. They passed the first and second guards and came to the iron gate leading to the city, and it opened for them by itself. I kind of, when I was reading this, it's because I went to Walmart the other day, but it's kind of like, you know, you get all your things and then you're starting to go out in that open door, and then you walk out. You know, we need to get that picture in our head, because you know what? God sets before us an open door, and you know what? It's already opening before us. We just kind of walk through it and get out of freedom. Get out of Walmart. Hallelujah. Praise Jesus. Anyway, so he followed him. They went through it, and they had walked one length of the street, and suddenly the angel left him. Verse 11, then Peter came to himself and said, I know now without a doubt that the Lord had sent his angel and rescued me from Herod's clutches and from everything the Jewish people were hoping would happen. Then it dawned on him, and he went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, also called Mark, where many people had gathered and were praying. Verse 13, Peter knocked at the outer entrance, and a servant named Rhoda came to answer the door. When she recognized Peter's voice, she was overjoyed, ran back without opening it, and exclaimed, Peter is at the door. So instead of Rhoda opening the door, she ran away from it. So, and I look at this so many times, we hesitate. We hesitate. We may know that our answer is at the door, but we hesitate to open it and to receive our miracles. And so instead, we run away from the answer that we've been praying for. And so Rhoda, she may have just been overly excited. Maybe she was young. It doesn't really say. She was a maiden, but it doesn't really say how old she was. So maybe she just was overexcited that she heard his voice. And we know that she had to recognize his voice because she was in the house when Peter had spoken before. And it doesn't say in the scripture that he said, knock, knock. Hey, this is Peter. Let me in. He didn't acknowledge who he was. He was probably saying, hey, is somebody there? Let me in, because it's in the middle of the night. The other thing that I took out of this too is maybe Rhoda didn't have the authority. because we knew that they were persecuting the Christians during that time. And so they probably said, we just don't open the door to anybody because we don't know who this is. And so maybe she didn't have the authority to open the door. And then I look at this, we have the authority. God has given us the authority, but we have to recognize who is at the door. But we have the authority to open the door. So remember, the home church was praying specifically for Peter. They were praying for his safety. They were probably praying for his release. She recognized his voice. She ran to tell them that the answer to the prayer was knocking at the door. And so this leads us to verse 15. And this is the response that she got from them. "You are out of your mind," they told her. She kept insisting that it was so. They said it must be his angel. So again, my point number three, recognize the voice of who's knocking. We may not know who's knocking, so we have to be able to discern and listen to know that it's the voice of God and not the enemy, because the enemy wants to set before us doors. And there's many doors that are open that the enemy has put in front of us, and those doors need to stay closed. We do not want to go back to those things. And so recognize the voice of God in every situation, because God's going to set before us open doors and open doors of opportunity. We just have to recognize and listen to say, who is this? What is this voice? Is this the voice of God? Is this the voice of the enemy? Their prayer was standing at the door knocking. Verse 16 goes on to say, but Peter kept on knocking, and when they opened the door, they saw him and they were astonished. Peter motioned with his hand for them to be quiet and described how the Lord had brought him out of prison. "Tell James and the other brothers and sisters about this," he said. And then he left for another place. So again, I touched on this about the angel getting his cloak, getting his shoes on. He was preparing him. And I thought it was very awesome that Peter went to that house to tell them what had happened to him, because it was important for them to know what God did. How many times is it important that if God does something in our life, we need to share it with other people? We need to let them know, hey, God is still working. He did this for me. He delivered me out of the hands of Herod. 16 soldiers were sitting there. I was chained to them. I was bound to them. But God set me free. He made a way. An angel led me out of prison. I also felt like I know it was important for him to say goodbye, because after this, we didn't really hear too much of Peter and what happened to him. And so, you know, Herod could have made up stories. You know, oh, you know, I really killed him. The what ifs. You know, we as a church were like, well, what if we don't get the details, then we're like, well, did he die? Was he released? You know? And so it was important for Peter to get that testimony out, to get that written down, for Luke to write this down in scripture, you know, to let us know that this is what God did for him. It's important. It's important. As they were praying for him, they were pleading on his behalf, and he wanted to say, your answers to your prayers was answered. I'm here. Look. It may not have been with James. We don't know what happened. I'm sure that they were praying for the release. Maybe, you know, we don't know. And again, we don't know why God didn't free James, but he freed Peter. And so, you know, there's times that we might do the what ifs or be disappointed. But the fervent prayer of this church, I mean, they were praying all night long, and I know that reached the throne room of heaven. And so our prayers as a church, they're powerful, they're effective. And so I know that God answered because of their fervent prayers. And he had a plan and a purpose for Peter. His darkness where he was sitting was not over. That was not his end. That was just the beginning for him. There's a couple stories that I came across, and I kind of wanted to share a few with you. I thought they were wonderful. It's just inspiring. Again, the testimonies, to get them out there, it just does something to our spirits to say, yes, God, you are still working. So this is a story about a lady, and her name is Karen, and I was like, oh, Karen, you know. It's not the Karen everybody else says on the internet. So, but anyway, Karen, she was expecting another child. And so she worked to prepare 3-year-old Michael for the birth of his new baby sister. And so every night, Michael would sing to his baby sister in his mother's tummy. And so during the delivery of this baby, some serious complications had occurred. And after many hours and struggle of her birth, Michael's little sister was born, but she was in very serious condition. And so she was rushed to a neonatal intensive care unit, and it was in Tennessee. But instead of getting better, the little baby was progressively getting worse. Her health was declining. And so the pediatric specialist basically told Karen and the dad and said, there's little hope that she's going to pull through. She's going to die, and I want you to be prepared. And so the parents decided at this point that they were going to go and get a burial plot. And they were, you know, finding all the means that they needed to do to bury their newborn daughter. And so, meanwhile, Michael, of course, he continued. He kept saying, Mom, I want to see my new sister. I want to see her. I want to see her. And, of course, kids aren't allowed in the intensive care unit. And so, you know, they were constantly being told, no, 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 you can't bring him here. And so the second week of his sister's intensive care stay, Michael's sister looked like she wasn't going to make it by the end of the week. And so Karen made up in her mind that she was going to take Michael. If this was the last time that he was going to see his sister, he was going to see her. And so she took him up there. She put the gown on him, the oversized gown, and she marched him right into the ICU. And of course, the head nurse met with disapproval, and you can't take him in here. And she stirred her ground, and she said, he will see his sister. And so she just ignored her and took him right in to his baby sister's bedside. And as Michael's looking up, he's seeing all the tubes that's inside of her and attached to her. And he begins to sing. And he starts singing, you are my sunshine, my only sunshine. You make me happy when skies are gray. You'll never know, dear, how much I love you. Please don't take my sunshine away. Instantly, the baby seemed to respond. And Karen says, Michael, keep singing, keep singing. And so Michael began to keep singing that song over and over and over again. And the head nurse, with tears streaming down her face, was seeing the results of little Michael and his song. And so all of a sudden, her stats started going up. She started breathing better. They said it was as smooth as a kitten's purr. So she was so transfixed with tears in her eyes. And that little girl was able to go home the very next day. Women's Day magazine called it a miracle of a brother's song. The medical staff just called it a miracle. Another story, Dr. Helen Rosevere, she was a missionary to Zaire, told the following story. It was a mother at the mission station died after giving birth to a premature baby. And we tried to, the mother died after giving birth to a premature baby. And we tried to improve and to improvise to have an incubator to keep the infant alive. But the only hot water bottle that we had was beyond repair. So we asked the children to pray for a baby, for the baby, and for her sister. And so one of the girls responded, she says, dear God, please send a hot water bottle today. Tomorrow will be too late. Because by then, the baby will be dead. And dear Lord, send a doll for her sister so she won't feel so lonely. That afternoon, a large package arrived from England. The children watched eagerly as we opened it. Much to their surprise, under some clothing was a hot water bottle. Immediately, the girl who had prayed so earnestly started to dig deeper, exclaiming, if God sent that, I'm sure he also sent a doll. She was right. The Heavenly Father knew in advance of that child's sincere requests 5 months earlier. He had moved on the heart of a ladies' group to include both of those specific things in that box to send. I thought, wow, isn't that awesome? Love that story. Here's the last one. When Hudson Taylor sailed to China, he heard an urgent knock on his storeroom door, and he opened it, and there stood the captain of the ship. "Mr. Taylor," he said, "we have no wind. We are drifting toward an island where the people are heathen, and I fear they are cannibals." "Well, what can I do?" asked Taylor. He said, "I understand that you believe in God. I want you to pray for wind." "All right, Captain, I will, but you must set the sail." "Why, that's ridiculous. There's not even the slightest breeze. Besides, the sailors are going to think I'm crazy." But finally, because of Taylor's insistence, he agreed. 45 minutes later, he returned and found the missionary still on his knees. "You can stop praying now," said the captain. "We've got more wind than we know what to do with." Obedience leads to freedom. That missionary said, "I'll pray for that, but you must set the sail." Seems like, why would I do that? That's faith. Mm-hmm. He knew that was, he was teaching that man that this is faith. You're going to see what my God can do. So set the sail and watch. I love that story. Love it. I kept going, oh, I can't share. There were so many stories. It's just wonderful. But no matter what we're going through, no matter how long we've been praying for something over and over and over again, we got to remember we can't stop believing that that God's not going to answer us. We have to have faith knowing that he is going to give us the answer. The very things that we are praying for and asking God for with faith, he is going to do it. If we're praying his will, and we know what his will is. So we got to speak Jesus in our situations. There's peace in the midst of his presence. We have to begin declaring hope in hopeless situations. We have to step up. We have to stand up in power and might. Jesus that lives in us, so we can watch the chains fall off. And he will set before you an open gate, but we must walk through, because that's where our freedom is. It's on the other side of the gate. But we got to walk and be obedient and go when God says to go. I'm reminded of the story in Daniel where it talked about when he was praying earnestly and I think it was Daniel 9, chapter 9, verses 20. It said something about how when the moment that Daniel started praying, the answer was already on its way, but there was a spiritual battle that was happening in the heavenlies. He didn't know, and I think it was like three weeks or something that it took for that miracle to come down. And so there are principalities, because I'll tell you what, the enemy does not want our miracles from heaven to reach earth. He does not want it, and he is going to do everything in his power to keep us bound, to keep us from receiving that. And so we need, when we're praying, we need to pray earnestly. We need to have intercession. We need to break those principalities and powers off so that we can allow heaven to come in and to invade. But we've got to break those things off that's in, because Jesus gave the enemy the earth. It's his reign. But we have the power to overcome anything that the enemy has. And it's because of the cross of Jesus. Matthew 16:19 says, "I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." You may not have gotten your answer. It may be delayed. But that doesn't mean that it's not coming. We have to stand. You may think the enemy is winning. You may think that there's nothing more that I can do, but we have to realize we have a God of angel armies, a God, he's doing battle for us on our behalf. He is breaking down the principalities and the powers. We have a praying church. So if you have needs, that's what we're here for. We have a praying church. We meet on Wednesdays. We have a prayer, the email chain that we say, hey, pray for this. This is the need that's within our body. Patty's our prayer pastor, and she is constantly in contact with people. She knows the needs within the body, and she's praying, she's interceding, and we're all doing that together as the body of Christ. So be obedient to what God's telling you to do. Don't give up. Don't become weary. Scripture, don't become weary in well doing. Keep praying. Keep believing God. He's your hope. He's here to shed light in your darkness. So if you think you're in a dark place, remember Peter. That angel came. God sent him for his release. Another story that I came across was when Isaiah was leaving Hezekiah. Basically, he was telling Hezekiah, you're going to die. And Hezekiah just began to weep and cry and said, God, you know, I don't want to die. And before he was even out of the court, God told him to go back and tell Hezekiah, I have heard your prayer and I've seen your tears. I will heal you. And he added 15 more years to his life. The moment that we speak, guys, the moment we pray, this is an example. He heard Hezekiah's prayer immediately before he even got out. He had to come back and say, hey, God says you've got 15 more years. Man, we've got to know that when we're praying, he's hearing us. Our prayers are being effective. They really are. They're being effective. Don't allow disbelief to come in and rob you. John 8:36 says, so if the Son sets you free, you'll be free indeed. Galatians 5:1, if it was for freedom that Christ has set you free, stand firm and do not let yourselves be burdened again by the yoke of slavery. Romans 8:1 through 4 says there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Jesus Christ, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. Luke 4:18 says, the Spirit of the Lord is on me because he's anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has set me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners in recovery of sight for the blind and to see the oppressed free. Oppressed means to be burdened with cruel or unjust impositions or restraints. It's being weighed down by thoughts, feelings that lie heavily on the mind and the spirit. And I brought this cross down here because we have to realize that what Jesus did on this cross, all of our chains, they've been nailed here. They have been nailed on the cross. He doesn't want us to be carrying these things any longer. See it nailed to the cross. The chains will fall off. They're going to fall off you because they're already on him. He's already done it. Why do we want to sit here and say, okay, the chains are here. Okay, God, well, you know what? I'm just feeling really bad today. And yes, nobody likes me. And then all of a sudden now you're picking these chains back up again. Why? Why would we do that when he's already done it for us? I don't want him to die over and over again. I know that he died for me. I know that he did all this for me. I don't have to pick this up anymore. I can leave it on the cross. So no matter what you're going through, I'm just hoping, because God told me, this was the visual that he gave me, and he says, Janice, just have them put it on the cross. Put it on the cross. It is mine. It's no longer for them to carry. It's no longer, they're no longer bound by these things anymore because I have come to set them free. I have a place. I have a plan. I have a purpose where I want to take them. I want them to walk in obedience. I want them to go through the open doors that I have, but they can't go through the open doors with being chained to this stuff. We can't be effective. We have to be completely healed from our past. We have to be healed from these things. And I know that so many times things have come, and it's hard to forget. You're saying, well, do I have to just forget this ever happened to me? No, you don't have to forget it, but know that who did it for you. Okay? He's got it. You don't have to carry it anymore. How long have you been carrying these things? 10 years? 15 years? 20 years? 30 years? 40 years? Wow. What did God want to do to you and for you and take you to a place to be a testimony and a witness when you're still depressed and down and you're not you're not effective in your witness? That's the one thing about the church that people say, oh, church is full of hypocrites. We're carrying so much stuff that our witness is tainted. Now, I'm not saying that Christians have to be perfect, but I'll tell you what, we can sit here and say, I have been where you've been. But man, by the grace of God, he's the one that pulled me through this. And I don't have to go back to this chain. I don't have to wear it any longer. It's done. It's his. My depression, it's gone. I ain't going back to that place. And guess what? I'm going to recognize it when it hits me. And that's the thing, too. When you're delivered of something, you end up recognizing. You know what? Oh, wait a minute. Oh, this seems familiar. I'm not going there. Somebody, the saying is, people say, get behind me, Satan, or Satan, not today. You need to say that more often. Satan, not today. You're not going to put this thing on me. I have been set free. It's been hanging on the cross. Jesus did this for me. I am complete. I am whole. I am free. No longer bound by chains. Thank you, Jesus. So those slips of paper, and I feel like if you don't have one, I'll get you one. But I just feel like we're supposed to, this is as an act of saying, okay, God, this is what I feel is my chain. This is where I feel like I'm stuck. This is where I've been praying and asking you to free me from this because I'm tired of carrying it. I don't want it in my life anymore. I want to move in the freedom. I want to move in your love. I want to move it in your peace. But we can't do that if we're still hanging on to something. And so what I'd like for you to do is get out that piece of paper, that strip of paper, write down what it is that you keep going back to, that God says, I don't want you to carry it anymore. I want to completely set you free. I want you to walk in the freedom that is yours. Every disappointment, God is shining his light in the midst of the darkness. Anything that's surrounding you, I want you to get up. And this is part of the getting up. When the angel came and he says, get up and let the chains be loosened. The moment that you stand up and you walk over here, watch the chains fall off you. And Sharon, I don't know if we want to, after this, just start praying for people. I don't know if you've got something else.
One of the things I'd like to just,
yeah.
This was so good today, Janice. It's excellent. There were two things that really stood out to me in your message today. When you were talking about fervent prayer, that's prayer mm-hmm. with passion.
Yes.
And so many times we think, I have no idea how to pray about this. Mm-hmm. I don't even know how to start praying. God wants to train us to quit doing, and Deb did a good job of mm-hmm. sharing this the other day, right. About praying what we know and praying what we have in our head.
Right.
Because so many of us have scripture knowledge or ideas of what the scripture says or how other people have prayed. And God's looking at our heart anyway.
Right.
And we need to learn how to let that passion come from our heart. We'll start seeing so many more
yes.
answered prayers
mm-hmm.
when that prayer comes directly from our heart
yeah.
instead of us thinking, I have no idea how to pray, and just mm-hmm. sit there and not do anything.
Mm-hmm.
So that was one of the things that stood out. And actually, I'd like to see people put on the other side of this paper
mm-hmm.
what standing up means to them.
Mm.
Because the standing up part is probably one of the most important parts
mm-hmm.
of your message today,
mm-hmm.
is God doesn't do it all.
Right.
And so Are you in a relationship that maybe you don't understand why you feel trapped or why you're in bondage? Is God asking, okay, be truthful. Go speak to that person. I feel like one of the words I was picking up when you was giving the message today was boldness. Mm. The body of Christ today is lacking boldness. We pull away. We shy away. We think, oh, well, somebody else can pray it or someone else can do it. And we sort of sit in a limbo because we don't want to be the active part in situations.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you what, God is telling some of us to care enough to confront in some situations. Yeah. And we don't like to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't know why that's something that's standing out in my mind today. God is saying to go to someone and even make something right or whatever, because it'll get rid of some of those unresolved issues that we have in our life.
Yes.
And those things can take all of us down. If we have things in the past that we've just left it there because we haven't known what to do.
Mm-hmm.
But if we ask God, he'll show us how to stand up in that situation and let those chains fall off. So, I mean, it was just an excellent lesson that you had today.
Thank you.
So.